This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark in for Cynthia Canty. Michigan could soon join about 20 other states that are formally calling for a national convention to draft a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Now, Michigan itself has a balanced budget requirement, but not so for the federal government. This idea of a balanced budget amendment has really taken off in the past few years as the nation's debt has increased. Let's turn to Charles Ballard, economist with Michigan State University, to kind of figure all of this out. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Zoe. How are you?
Good, thank you. So it sounds good, right? The country, we're in $17 trillion of debt. But is this a responsible way to cure our massive federal budget issues?
You're right that it sounds good. It certainly has a very shiny appeal on the surface. But in response to your question, no, this is not a responsible way to do it. And let me explain why. The problem is not that we shouldn't do anything about debt. I mean, I really think that we have made a lot of mistakes in terms of not raising enough taxes to cover the spending. So I think over the long haul, we've got to have a combination of probably some spending cuts and some tax increases to try to come closer to balanced budgets and hopefully even have surpluses in some years. But if you insist on balancing the budget in every fiscal year, that means that you would insist on balancing the budget during a recession. Mm. So let's think about what it would have been like if we had tried to balance the budget in 2009. Because of reasons that didn't have much to do with the budget, the economy was plummeting because of the financial crisis. And people were losing jobs. Ultimately, 8 million people lose their jobs. When you lose your job, you don't pay taxes. Economic activity was shrinking, so the tax base was going down.
Sure.
That was going to lead, if we didn't do anything else, that was going to lead to huge deficits. So now let's say you insist on not having a deficit. Well, what do you got to do? You got to raise taxes $1 trillion or so, or cut spending $1 trillion or so. Well, if you do that, what's going to happen? Those would put a further drag on the economy. That would make the recession worse. So you don't want to insist on balancing the budget during an economic downturn. I absolutely agree we need to do more to balance the budget. That's why I think we should vote for members of Congress who don't sign any no-tax pledge and who don't say no spending cuts, no way, no how.
And I mean, how would this actually work if suddenly you were to say no more debt? I mean, what would happen, let's say, to huge programs like Social Security, Medicaid, programs that are quite popular?
Well, that of course, is the rub. That's a real problem. Last year, we had deficits a little shy of $700 billion. That's way down from more than $1 trillion in the previous few years, but still pretty substantial. What would you have to do? You'd have to have a very major tax hike, or you'd have to, what would be the right order of magnitude? Well, eliminate the Department of Defense, eliminate Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Those are of the order of magnitude that it would take to knock out $700 billion. And of course, back in 2009, it would have been much, much, much worse than that. So if you have a member of Congress who is facing a constitutional requirement that we balance a budget, and the member of Congress knows that he or she has to vote for a massive tax hike or for huge cuts in spending, that's a hard one to vote for.
Yeah.
And of course, it would remain to be seen what exactly would happen. I should note that the advocates in the Michigan legislature for this, all the ones that I've spoken to, they keep saying without any tax increases. Now, that's not written into the balanced budget amendment,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but their goal would be to do it exclusively through spending cuts, which, of course, will be very difficult.
And that's exactly it. I mean, I think a lot of people would agree. It sounds good. It's important. You shouldn't spend more than you're able to. So is there a fix that isn't so drastic as calling for a constitutional convention?
Well, in the short term, we're actually doing all the right things. We're headed in the right direction. If you take the trajectory of the last couple of years, and if you keep on that trajectory, we would be balancing the federal budget in another couple of years. It takes discipline. It takes not coming up with any huge new spending programs or tax cuts. We have seen before that it's possible to do that. It is possible to have the the discipline. You also need a little bit of luck in terms of not having some outside event cause a recession.
Mm-hmm.
But we had it in the last 4 years of Bill Clinton's administration with a Democratic president and a Republican Congress. They raised some taxes, they had a growing economy, they cut some spending, and we managed to balance the budget. So it is possible. And that happened without a balanced budget amendment. It happened through members of Congress making tough decisions.
Charlie, let's talk a little bit about the politics behind this. Attention was brought to the idea here in Michigan when Governor Snyder actually called for the amendment. He called for it in his State of the State address. And I think his support for many political watchers, it was surprising. Were you surprised from what you know about this governor that he was pushing for this balanced budget amendment?
I was a little surprised. I have to tell you that I was disappointed. I know the governor personally, and I don't want to be too critical. I think he's done many things good. He's pushed for some good policies. This is one with which I strongly disagree. I don't understand fully, because of his accounting and economics background, I'm sure he's familiar with the arguments that I was putting forth.
And that's what I'm trying to get at, that it seems sort of antithesis to what we know about him as a CPA. Is this what some are saying, some political watchers, that this was sort of a bone that he was throwing to some members of the Tea Party and some Republicans who are really pushing for this amendment?
I've heard people say that. It's hard for me to know for sure what was the reason why the governor threw his support behind this.
Yeah. Now, let's talk sort of overall. Why now? The economy, it seems to be getting better. It seems to be on a rebound. It's an interesting time for this to sort of continue to poke its head up.
That is a very good question. I think it may be that we have just had this continuing growth of the debt, and maybe we got to a number where the sticker shock was quite high. A lot of it, I think, is just jockeying for political position, because as we have both said, the balanced budget amendment to the Constitution is very attractive on the surface.
Yeah.
And if you don't dig below the surface, and if you don't think about what would actually happen if we had to balance the budget during a recession, I think it does have some appeal. And it's true. We've had, you know, people are frustrated. People on both sides of the aisle are frustrated that the Congress over a long haul and various presidents haven't had the discipline to raise enough taxes to pay for the spending programs. And so you think, well, if we can't get them to do it through voting for people who have good sense, let's use the meat axe approach of a balanced mm-hmm. budget amendment. But I, as I've said, I don't think that meat axe will help the patient.
Charles Ballard, economist at Michigan State University. As always, Charlie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Zoe, for having me.
Oh, and Charlie also tells us that the whole argument that's made about, well, in my household, you know, we have household budgets, we're meant to balance our budgets, the federal government should too. He says, actually, that's not a great comparison. You may own your home, but really the bank probably owns your home, that you're actually probably in debt to the bank. You're paying mortgage payments, that you probably don't own your car outright, and that maybe you make car payments. So he says, in actuality, although we say that we balance our budget every month, we probably all have a little bit of debt.